Kulturi, an encounter with people of different cultures. Welcome to Kulturi. We've been so far discussed several cultures throughout the world, and now we are moving to Central, or better, East Africa, and the country whose culture we'll be discussing is Kenya, which lies exactly on the equator. And on one side there is the Indian Ocean, and it borders with Tanzania and Uganda, and also with South Sudan. To the north, with Ethiopia and Somalia. And to discuss the culture of this country, we've got Sister Annie Niji, who is a sister studying in Malta. Welcome, sister, to the program.
Thank you, Father.
And first question which I ask to everyone who comes to this program are, what are the values of Kenya, of your country, your home country? Of course, Kenya is a very large country, that there are 42 different peoples and cultures, so we are not entering into small details of different cultures, and one can imagine differences in different parts of Kenya as far as culture is concerned, because we can see even in Malta and Gozo there are some differences, which is such a small country in the world. Imagine Kenya with 580,000 kilometers, square kilometers, and a population of 41 million, what that would mean. So what are the general values of Kenya, that is, values which all Kenyans, let's say, agree about and which they desire to see acted in their life or put into practice in the country?
Mm-hmm. As you have said, Father, Kenya has got a very diverse culture because of the, as long as they are these groups or these tribes, 42 of them, as you've said, and they are universal cultures, or what are valued by all the tribes. One of them is community spirit.
Community spirit, yes. Is a very strong value.
It's a very strong value.
So is it a tribal community spirit or a national spirit? Which would be the stronger?
A national spirit, not only tribal. It's a national. Actually, the motto of the Kenya itself is this community spirit. And in Swahili we say harambee, like harambee.
Pull together.
Work together. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of working together, that spirit. Yes.
So there is a strong nationalism in your country. Nationalism is very strong.
Uh-huh.
Is Swahili the most spoken language or not?
With these 42 tribes, each has got its own language. So to bridge the gap of communication, there is Swahili as national language, which is spoken by all, and of course English. So English and Swahili.
And then dialectically. But are there dialectical variations of Swahili or different languages in themselves? So if one knows Swahili, mm-hmm, would he understand the language of a tribe or not?
There is these tribal languages, and Swahili, it's known by...
Yes, but for example, if I go to England,
yes,
and I speak English language,
yes, yes,
if I hear someone from Liverpool,
uh-huh,
I can understand him with a bit of difficulty because they got their accent and so on. Is it that difference or more than that?
There is that difference, of course, because of the mother tongue language. It affects how one speaks Swahili or even English, how one speaks English.
Yeah, but is the difference greater than that? Greater than difference, for example, the way the Scottish speak English or the Irish speak English.
Uh-huh.
But in a way, we can understand them and follow them. But yes. Suppose I am from Nairobi. You come from a town near Nairobi called Tika.
Yes.
But suppose this is in central Kenya.
Yes.
Suppose you go to the south of Kenya.
Yes.
And you are not an educated person. You didn't go to school and so on. Would you understand the people there if they don't speak Swahili? Would you understand one another?
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
Because they would be talking their own language.
That's it. It's totally different.
It's totally different.
Yes,
this language, it's very different.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, for example, if you go to Sardinia, especially in some in the northern parts, in the northeastern parts, near Alghero. The Algherese is more similar to the Catalan of 500 years ago than to Italian. You don't understand. I mean, if you know Spanish, you'll understand it more than you understand if you know Italian. And nobody, few people understand it, as apart from people who live in Alghero. There is a school and there is a newspaper. But even if you read it, you don't understand. And besides that, there is the Sardo, which is a different version of Italian, which has its own literature and so on. And then I can assume, do you have literature in these languages?
Yes, we do. We do have.
Now, we know that there has been a constitutional amendment which will be put into practice and fully implemented in 2012, this year in August. And Kenya has been divided into 47 semi-autonomous units which will be governed. Are these units related to the tribe or not? Are they tribal based?
I don't think so.
You think they are territorially?
Yes, because the people are spread all over. You feel it's not like...
So the tribes are spread?
Yes, there are a lot of... Before, it used to be people of the same tribe will be in the same place, but now there is a lot of
migration
mixed in together. So it can't be only...
But would people recognize themselves by sight that they belong to another tribe or not? So if you see another woman or another man from another tribe, unless you hear him speak, would you guess that he comes from another tribe? His physiognomy, would it be slightly different, you think?
Yes, yes, there is.
There are differences.
Yes.
So it's truly, there are ethnic differences, a different of race, different races in the same country. So a tribu, a tribe might represent a specific race, a specific lineage, which is very old, because I've read that your country has a Paleolithic origin, that is a quite origin, I mean, quite old, ancient origin. Again, and speaking about this sense of community.
Yes.
What importance do Kenyans give to the family? Which, as we know, the family is appreciated in every culture.
Yes.
But certain cultures are more familistic than others. I mean, Britain, the family is appreciated, but it's not as familistic as Sicily, for example, or as Malta. They are not as closely knit as we are in Malta. What is the status of the present Kenyan family?
Before, it used to be like if you have a family, it give you a status or honor. You are honored person.
It depends on your family. If you're married, you mean?
Yes, if you're married. But even now, the family is given a lot of value. People value much family, the children, and there is a lot of community coming together of the families, like not only the close family, but also the extended family. Yes, and a lot of social gathering. If, let's say, one thing happened to one member of the family, it's not only his issue or her issue. Everybody
will come
into it and feel concerned about it.
And who would be at the head of this extended family would be the mother, the matriarch, or the patriarch?
The patriarch.
The patriarch. So yes. You're a patriarchal society, not a matriarchal society.
No. Not.
Like most countries in the world, but there are some countries which are matriarchal.
The patriarch.
And in order for a boy or a girl to get married, are marriages prearranged?
Used to be, now that is dying out.
But traditionally it used to be prearranged.
It used to be, yes.
And
yes.
How was this arrangement made normally? By parents, I mean?
By parents, they used
and
to.
And would the girl or the boy have, who had to bring dowry to the marriage?
The boy.
The boy had to bring?
Yes.
In a sense that if he's buying his wife.
Not really
so,
buying,
but... So, if the father say, one cow or two cows, it depends on how rich he was, I think.
Yes, yes.
Was this the dowry normally, in terms of animals or land? What did it consist
not
of?
Animals, like goats.
Goats
cows.
Or animals. Because it was a pastoralist culture, although Kenya even now has advanced. And I've been reading in preparation to this program that 62% of its gross domestic product comes from services. This is from tourism, from high-tech things, from banking sectors, and so on. So it doesn't come really from agriculture, although it was originally a pastoralist country. 62% still comes, nowadays comes from the service industry. And what is the, what we could say, the non-value in Kenya? What is the thing which Kenyans as a people dislike most?
I think what it is considered not polite, like shouting, overreacting.
Or?
Overreacting.
Overreacting. Ah,
yes.
So like, we can say, can we say that the Kenyans are, in a sense, quite serene and calm people?
Yes, to some extent, yes.
And do tribal law courts still exist in Kenya or not? If someone commits something, do you immediately take him to the constitutional law court, I mean to the law courts which are recognized by law? Or something is handled within the extended family, if someone is wrong, for example?
It used to be handled within the extended family. But now this is dying out, as I told you, because
with
of
modernization,
a lot of Western culture.
And what is the place of religion? I'm not speaking of Christian religion.
Yes.
Of religiosity, I mean. Among the Kenyans, would you say they are very religious people or not? I mean,
they are religious people.
What are the older traditions, so to say, the pre-Christianity traditions, religions which existed in Canada, in Kenya? Spiritism, do you have something like that, or veneration for the dead? What would be the?
It used to be depending with the. The tribe,
as I
told you, it's
because you can give us some example even from a tribe.
The tribe are different. They were very different, but that now also is dying out. Even the religious sects which used to be there, it's not very common nowadays. It's something which is really dying out with the coming of Christianity.
And do you have many Christians in Kenya?
Yes. The big percentage is Christianity in Kenya. Christianity means there is Catholics and Protestants. Protestants, they are more than the Catholics.
Yeah.
And then we've got
Islam?
Yes, we've got Islam, there is. There is Hindu also.
Hindu.
A very small percentage, because in Kenya there are Indians.
There are Indians.
Who works in Kenya.
So Indians always migrated to Africa. This thing has always fascinated me, how, for example, Gandhi was in South Africa for quite a long time. I mean, he's a lawyer there and so on.
Business, they are business.
Many business people went to South Africa, basically. Mm-hmm. And South Africa is still, in my opinion, I was only in one African sub-Saharan country.
Uh-huh.
And my impression was that it was a wrong impression, in fact. But my impression I took that this country, being Zambia, being quite near to South Africa, was almost not a colony, but an economic colony of South Africa. But recently, we've read in the press that Nigeria will become basically the greatest economic country in Africa. Perhaps it will supersede South Africa itself, Nigeria. What are the main festivities which you have in Kenya, besides religious festivities, I mean, besides Christian festivities, apart from Easter and perhaps even secular festivities like Independence Day? Kenya got her independence 1 year before Malta. You got your independence in 1963, we got our independence in 1964. So basically, as an independent country in the United Nations, we are of the same age. And we were both British colonies. What would be the main festivities besides? Do you have any particular tradition festivities which are transmitted from, for example, in Malta? As you know, you've been living here because you've been studying in Malta. We've got Minaria, the Feast of St. Paul and St. Peter on the 29th of June. Which is a religious feast, but it is also a pastoralist feast. In fact, there is always a very strong and very deeply rooted the bousquet fair of fruit and vegetables and animals and so on. So, in a sense, one can even say that it's a very old, even if Christianized, pastoralist feast. Do you have any such feasts in Kenya, which are traditional, which you have inherited from your forefathers, so to say, which are distinct from religion?
Apart from, like, weddings, Ima?
Weddings is a big feast.
Yes, it's a big feast.
Are you expected, if one is getting married, is he expected to invite many people from his...
If there is a wedding in a village, it comes without telling that everybody, it's an everybody activity. Everybody has to.
In a village?
Yes.
And so what would be the population of the village, more or less?
Depends with where. There will be very many people. But everybody gives in. Like if it is cooking, it's not only for the person who has wedding. Everybody will contribute to it. So it's... The whole village will come.
It's a communal
celebration. It's a community celebration.
Oh, that's very interesting. And if someone, I can assume perhaps that there are priests, but there are people who are not neither Christian, nor Hindus, nor Islam. Is there any traditional way of celebrating? Of celebrating marriage. How is marriage celebrated by people who don't belong to these big religions?
They will not have, they'll have their own celebration. Maybe it will be at night. They come together, they have a meal, they take beer together. There is a lot of dancing.
Yes, but
a lot of
how
music.
Do they give the marriage consent? Is it in front of the tribal
parents.
Chief or anything?
Yes,
or the parents?
The parents will be there, and there will be the elders of the village. But as I have said, this is dying out.
This is dying out, definitely. I mean, because now, unless you're married in an official religion, you have to be married in a civil state religion. So one assumes that, but given that this program about culture, we've got to look at history and the roots of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still see the roots of the tribe still felt, not by law,
mm-hmm.
but in practice? Are the one's roots and one's belonging to a tribe still very strong? Is it really strongly felt that one belongs to a tribe? For example, yes.
mm-hmm.
let me give you an example. Suppose a boy or a girl wants to marry a girl from another tribe.
Yes.
What would be the reaction of their relatives?
As I told you, from before, they were supposed to marry. If you want to marry, you marry somebody from your own tribe
mm-hmm.
that was very strong traditionally. But now there is a lot of intermarriages. Mm-hmm. And even if you come to life in the cities, like in Nairobi, people of different tribes will live together
mm-hmm.
and live in a peacefully, of which that never used to be there before.
Is polygamy still in existence?
Polygamy in Kenya, it is a traditional thing. Used to be tradition. And the more you had many wives, the more you are honored in the village. As it's not only a matter of having wives, but having many and being able to take care of them.
Mm.
And they used to live in a very harmonious way. But now this practice is also dying out, I can
for
say.
Economic reasons, definitely. But what you're telling me is the same reasons of polygamy in the Old Testament. I mean, in the Old Testament, a person who had many wives was considered to be blessed by God and normally very rich.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, a man was considered rich according to how many wives and how many cows they had and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, have you ever met any people who are living in a polygamous marriage or not?
I have. My grandfather had
mm-hmm.
three wives.
What would bring harmony within a polygamic family? Would there be, so to say, a senior wife, a first wife or not? Because in Zambia, where I was, they asked this question, and the Zambian person who was speaking to me told me that normally it is the wife herself who tells the husband to have another wife, because now she has a number of children and she couldn't cope anymore, so
mm-hmm.
he can marry another wife. What is the idea behind it in Kenya? Or what was it? I mean, I know they are dying out, definitely.
That's what it was. The wife herself used to approach the husband,
mm-hmm.
and she herself even used to go and look for another wife for the husband.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who used to go and look for.
Really?
Hmm.
And would she be the, so to say, the woman in charge of the house?
The first woman would be
in charge of the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she would distribute, so to say, household work to the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, she had the primacy, the first woman.
Yes, she had.
Were the children of the first wife and the second wife considered to be of equal standing or not?
Of equal. They were supposed to be all equal.
All equal, because mm-hmm. they are of the same father.
Yes.
Yes. And Would people take normally their father's tradition as regards to work and so on? The job they take, would it be similar to that of their father?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if their father was in agriculture, would they be in agriculture? If he was in fishery?
Yes, it's used to.
So the family was an economic unit,
mm-hmm,
so to
mm-hmm.
say, where people worked
together
around the house or around the fishing boat, if you want,
mm-hmm.
you want to say.
Or in the garden.
Yes, and Let's turn about something which is also cultural and is very important and tasty. What would be the main traditional dish in Kenya?
The main...
You know, in Malta, normally we say we've got fennel, for our fennel, I mean, molly or something like that. I mean, what would be in Kenya
tradition? In Kenya is nyama choma.
Nyama choma, yes. Of course. What does it consist in?
Roasted meat.
Roasted meat.
To be a goat or a cow. Or it's very common.
And normally, where, say, if there is a feast, say a village feast.
Yes.
Or a birthday.
Yes.
Presumably they would have this type of food to celebrate.
Yes.
Would all the family be invited for this dinner?
Yes, it's so something of a community.
So the community is very important.
Very important.
Does it let's not call it pressure, because we know that the world is changing. Does it have any influence on what their children do, and so on and so forth?
Yes, it's had, and even the way people behave, the community have a say in it. It's not just your own life, you and your own life. Let's say if you do something wrong, the community, you are not only doing it for yourself, but you are harming the community all.
So suppose before becoming a sister yourself,
yes,
would the family have a discussion about it? Or a priest, someone wants to be, or a lawyer. Let's put it this way.
No. It was only something between me. I go and I tell my parents, and then we discuss it together.
So it's quite westernized.
Yes, yes.
Oh, thank you very much, Sister Annie, for this important discussion on Kenyan culture.
Thank you.
And we'll hope to have you in the future on our program.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.